We learned the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph Masechah Sota. My Gemara has Nedarim, Nazir, and Sota. The Sota Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara is trying to work out the details of how they did the Brachas HaKlolos at HaGrizim and HaRevel. It's very unclear. In the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Yeshua Ben Nun that when they cross over the Yarden and go into Eretz Yisrael, they should have 6 Shvatim on top of HaGrizim and 6 Shvatim on top of HaRevel. That's what it says literally. Then they should have the Orein HaKodesh, the Orein HaBris, with the Luchas in between. And the Kohanim and the Levim should surround the Orein HaBris. So it's already a kasha before you get off the ground. It says Levi was one of the 6 Shvatim. That was one of the 2. I forgot already what the HaGrizim and HaRevel. Then it says the Kohanim and the Levim should surround the Orein down on the bottom. So Monavshach, where were the Levim? Were they up on top of one of the mountains or were they down by the Orein? So that's what the Tana and the Braisa asks. Tanya, about more than 10 lines, about 15 lines from the bottom on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. It's a Tosefta. It says Tanya Rab Lezman Yankee Ferme. Yev Shalom Levi Lemato. You cannot say Shevet Levi is down by the Orein Shekvanem Lamailo. Says it's supposed to be on top of one of the 2 mountains. The Yev Shalom Lamailo Shekvanem Lamato. Hadi Farimfus the Chastir and the Chumish. In the same pasuk Kaketzad. So the Teretz has to be the sum of the Levim were down by the Orein, and most of the Levim, the bulk of Shevet Levi, were up together with Reuven, Shimon, Levi over there. And some of the Levim, so how did they decide who gets the covered of being near the Orein, who not? So the first Tana says, the answer must be, the Zikne Kuhuna Leviya Walamata. The Hashar, the regular Shevet Levi Hashar Lamata. The rest of Shevet Levi was on top. And the elder statesman from the Shevet Levi, they were on the bottom. They had to pick out whom to be Mechabe. So they were Mechabe, the elders. They had to designate Mishorim and Shoarim. That's how the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim. There were those who were Shoarim. They were in charge of locking the gates and opening the gates to Shar. They were known as Shoarim. And then the Mishorim, those who sang. Yeah, whoever had a good voice, yeah. When the Russian government required of all the Jewish families to adopt family names, so the Soloveitchiks adopted the name Soloveitchik because in Russian that's a nightingale. And their family tradition had it that they were descendants of the Levim who sang in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik did not have a good voice. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also was Yodua, did not have a good voice. That's why they asked Rav Baruch Ber, had a beautiful voice. Rav Baruch Ber was very musically inclined. So they asked him if everything he had was from the Rebbe, from Rav Chaim. So where did he get the good voice from? So he fudged a little bit on that. Not everything. He obviously said everything is from the Rebbe, but the nigunim he didn't get from the Rebbe. So that's how the family tradition has it. That they adopted the name Soloveitchik because they claim that they were descendants from the Mishorim. The Pashta says they picked those who had good voices to be the Mishorim, I guess so. So the first Tana says the bulk of Shevet Levi was on top of one of the mountains, and the Mechubadim among them, the elder statesmen, were chosen to have the covered of standing near the Orein. The next Tana gives a different difference. It's Rav Yoshi Omer, Kol Haroi L'Shoreis Lemata V'Hashar L'Mailo. There was a special Ruach Shor only in the Midbar, which doesn't apply L'Doris. The Pasuk says in Chumash it's a little unclear. Pasuk says in Chumash that the Levim can only function in their role between the ages of 30 and 50. If you're younger than 30 or older than 50, they don't let you function as a Levi. What function are they not allowed to do? So the Gemara says in Chulin, in the end of the first parak, that was only the Ruach Shor that only applied the Midbar when they were traveling from the Masors, from one location to the other. So the job, the function of the Levim was to carry the Orein. So younger than 30, you don't have enough koyach. Ben shloshim lekoyach. You have to be strong. And older than 50 is too heavy. It's too difficult to carry, to schlep things. So during the Midbar only, there was such a din. The Doris, there was no such din. You don't retire a Levi from singing in the Beis HaMikdash or from locking the gates when he reaches the age of 50. You only retire them from carrying the Avodas HaKodesh in the Midbar. So the Levim, the Kohanim and the Levim who were surrounding the Oroin on the occasion of Brachas Zaklaz, Hagriz Marevel, which Levim did they pick to surround? It's up there. The second Tanah, Rabbi Yoshia says, the Seichel dictates those Levim who are right to carry the Oroin. Means only those between the age of 30 and 50. The rest of the Levim were up on top of Hagriz Marevel. But it's going to be a bigger group of Levim. First Tanah says the Mechubadim. So they picked a group of 50, 100 Levim. According to the second Tanah, it's a much bigger group. It's half of the Levim. Between the age of 30 and 50 is a much bigger segment of the population. Tosis quotes an opinion from the Yerushalmi, a different opinion from the Yerushalmi. Here the Tosis, Yev Shalai Melevi Lamata. In Soito, from the beginning of the Mesichta to the end, the Tosis is very different from Tosis and other Mesichtas. Usually Tosis and other Mesichtas asks kashas from another Gemara, and tries to fit everything in, tries to resolve all the theories. That's how they have a famous, I don't know if it's a legend, probably a legend, I don't know if it's true, that the Rabbi Natam and the Ri, they had a yeshiva with 60 students, and each student was an expert on one mesichta. One was an expert on Bava Kama, one was an expert on Bava Metzia, one was an expert on Gitna, on Kiddushin. Whenever they would be learning something, so the 60 students would start shooting kashas from all over Shas, and they would all work on it together. And that's how all of the Tosis were worked out. So usually on all the other Mesichta, that's what Tosis is all about. They're shooting kashas from all over the place, or they're adding on comments from other Gemaras. Bema's truth of the matter is that half of the Tosis in the Shas, if you know all the other Gemaras, you don't have to read the other half of the Tosis. But a lot of times they just fill you in by quoting Nocha Gemara that you may not remember, you may have never learned that Gemara. And the other half of the Tosis, they try to resolve stiras between the Gemaras. They ask kashas, they resolve. On Saita, it's a different set of Tosis. Very often, they just quote what it says in the Yerushalmi. And they don't even try to show how it compares, to try to compare it or to contrast it to the Bavli. Tosis just quotes. Here also, the whole Mesichta is like that. So the second Tosis on Laman Zayinim and Aleph, they quote a third opinion from the Yerushalmi. Abshimen Aymer. Reb Shimon's the Tana Reb Shimon here in Agamar. You have the first Tana of Lezer ben Yankiv that the Mechubadim, the Ziknei Kuna Leviyah, were down with the Aron. Second Tana Reb Yoshia says that those who are roy to carry the Aron between the age of 30 and 50, a big chunk of Leviyim, they were down with the Aron. The Yerushalmi quotes the third Tana Reb Shimon. Reb Stam Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Baichoy. So Reb Shimon says, it says in the Chumash Shimon Velevi, and it lists off six Shvatim around Hagriz and six Shvatim Arevo. So he says, Shevet Shimon, half of Shevet Shimon was there, and the other half was somewhere else. No, the whole Shevet Shimon was there. So just like Shevet Shimon, the whole Shevet was there, so the whole Shevet Levi was there also. Aisach Astira, but it says, HaKohanim and Levim were down on the bottom. Zoktanein, the Kohanim were down on the bottom. There were no Levim. I bet it says, HaKohanim and Levim. Zoktan, yeah, the Kohanim is Aina Levim. The Kohanim are Levim. So that's a Gemara. Tosis quotes a famous Gemara in Yevamos Daf Peivov that the 24 places in Tanakh B'chof Talad Mekaymais the word Levi appears and it doesn't really mean Levi. It really means a Kohen. Obo Levi, there's a pasuk in Chumash Devarim. Obo HaLevi B'chol Avas Nafsho. Whenever a Levi wants to, he can come to the Beis Hamikdash and bring Karbonas. What is it talking about? So the Gemara says in the end of Bava Kama, it doesn't mean a Levi, it means a Kohen. Even though the Kohanim were divided up in 24 Mishmaras, and it was understood this week is our Mishmar, next week is his Mishmar, next week is his Mishmar. Many families, originally there weren't any Mishmaras. Originally there were hardly enough Kohanim, they're just Aaron and his few sons, and his two sons, and Pinchas. There were only a handful of Kohanim. So they had to do the Avodah every day. And then when they had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so they divided them in four Mishmaras. Then a few generations later, the Gemara says they divided them into eight mishmaros. Then they finally, ultimately, they divided them into 24 mishmaros, and all the names of the 24 mishmaros are listed off in Dera Yomim. So the Rambam counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. One of the Ramach mitzvahs has said the hakrovas hakrovanas should be done in an orderly fashion, mitordenung al piha mishmaros. That one mishmar should function 1 week, the other mishmar should function next week, next mishmar should function the next week. And that's what it says in Chumash, Levad Mimkara Val Ha'Ovis. It says, Vo Alevi B'chol Avas Napsha V'Sheires. A Kohen can come whenever he wants and bring. If I'm a Kohen and I have to bring my own Korban, I accepted a Neder to bring a Korban. Or it's Erev Pesach and I want to bring my Korban Pesach. Arai was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegeg, Ayet Chela V'Dam B'Shegeg, have to bring a Korban Chatos. So if I want to come and bring my own Korban, that I am the Bala Korban, so I'm not restricted with the Mishmaris, I can come whenever I please. Uvo B'Chalav Esnab Shevisheris, he can be Makrib his own Korban. But then as far as being Makrib someone else's Korban, that says Levadim Karabal Ha'avis, that they made a deal, that Ani B'Shabbos Sheli, V'Atoh B'Shabbos Sholcho. So the Rambam takes that pasuk to be a mitzvah saseh, that the akrovas hakorbanu should be offered in a fair fashion and a proper fashion. The Ramban is masig on the Rambam. How can you say that that's a mitzvah in a Torah? The Gemara says there was a whole history. Originally there were just less than a handful of kohanim. There was Aaron and he had two sons, and two of them died. So he only had four sons, and two died, left with two sons. And then Pinchas became a kohen, so there were only four kohanim in the whole wide world. So there were no mishmaris. They had to take care of Bayom or Balaylo. And then when they had grandchildren, so they made the great-grandchildren, they made four mishmaris. Then there were more kohanim. They made eight. Then they made 24. So you see that it kept on changing. It was just that there shouldn't be a balagan in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Mefarshim is saying, no, the Rambam holds that that's what it says in the Chumash. If they'll have enough kohanim, that it'll be a big crowd, so shouldn't the hakrovas hakabana should not be done in a haphazard fashion. It should be done in an orderly fashion. So that pasuk, "Bo halevi b'chol avas nafsha v'sheres b'cholech ma'kohanim," doesn't go on a levi; it goes on a kohen. A kohen who wants to be makar of his own carbon, he's the bala carbon. He can bring the carbon even if it's not his mishma. And then the Gemara has other places. B'chof talud nekamis nikru kohanim levim. The 24 locations in Tanakh where the Tanakh uses the word levi, and it really does mean levi. It really refers to a kohen. Yeah. I don't know. The Kohanim Alevim. That is true Kohanim Alevim. That's a question. Is it true Kohanim Alevim? Or do you say no? A Levi is Nishkan Kohen, a Kohen is Nishkan Levi. So the Pashto says, of course a Kohen is a Levi. He's from Shevet Levi. How can he not be Shevet Levi? So there's a Gemara in Bchoris that says not so. The Gemara in Bchoris, Tosfos points it out, a Kohen is Nishkan Levi. What's the Gemara? The Gemara has like this. If a Levi, let's say, the firstborn child is a boy, you have to make Pidyon HaBen. What if the father of the child is a Kohen or Levi? So the child is going to be a Kohen or Levi. So Kohanim Levi and Mapata from Pidyon HaBen. What if the father of the child is Nishkin Kohen or Levi? He's a Yisrael, but the mother's a Kohenis. Or the mother's a Levi. So the Mishnah says, B'peter Rechem Tole Rachmona. To determine who needs Pidyon HaBen, depends on the firstborn, on the peterechem to the mother. And if the mother is a kohen, it's a levia, so that peterechem is not mechuyev. So the Gemara has a shaila. What's the din? Today it's a common shaila. A goy marries a Jewish girl who's a kohen or a levia. What's the din? A goy marries a Jewish girl who's a kohen or a levia. So the kid is Jewish. So the, but the kid is not a kohen or a levi. So, but peterechem. So, does the child need pidyon haben? The father's a nochri. He's not going to do the pidyon haben. Shaila is when the kid grows up, should he do his own pidyon haben, or should the bezin do the pidyon haben on his behalf? So, what's the din? So, the Gemara splits. The Gemara says, a kohenis who lives with a nochri is nischalala ois kohenis. She becomes ois kohenis. So, by the time the kid is born, the mother is nishken. So, nishken peterechem from a kohenis. So, that kid does need pidyon haben. But if the mother is Nishkin Kohen, she's only a Leviah who lives with a Nochri is not Poka the Kedushas Leviah. A funny din, so the child of the Leviah is Pata from Pidyon HaBen. But the child of the Kohen is Chayv in Pidyon HaBen, because she's Nischalala from Kedushas Kuna. So by the time the baby is born, there is no Peter Rechem of Israel. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Every Kohen is a Leviah. So say she doesn't have Kedushas Kuna. Zolzi bleib ma levia. So a ben a levia is pata. So Tosfos says, et me fundan, that a kohen is nishkan levi. A kohen is nishkan levia. Aye, but we know it's not true. Kohanim a leviim. So that's what the Achrayim answer. The Prima Gadim writes in one place. The Pashto says there are two different concepts. There's Shevet Kohuna, and there's levia, there's Shevet levia, and there's Kedushas levia. There's Shevet levi and Kedushas levi. So all the Kohanim belong to Shevet levi. But do they have Kedushas Leviyah? So that's what Tosfos says, no. Whoever has Kedushas Kuna does not have Kedushas Leviyah. These don't go together. So So that's why sometimes you have a machlekes hatanaim. Let's say Maaser Rishon. Who are you supposed to give when the farmers have tvua that grows in Eretz Yisrael? So the first you give Truma Gedolah to the Kohanim. You take 2%, you give it to the Kohanim Truma Gedolah. Then you mafresh from the 98 units that are left after taking out the 2%. So you mafresh 10% of that is 9.8. So you mafresh Maaser Rishon, you give it to the Leviim. And then you mafresh 10% of what's left after that. And that's the Maaser Sheni, or if it's the third year or the sixth year, it's going to be Maaser Rani. So when you mafresh the Maaser Rishon, who do you give it to? So it says, the Chumash, give it to a Levi. Are you Yotzi if you give it to a Kohen, or do you say you must give it to a Levi? So the Gemara in Ksubis in the second parakas, Machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So one Tana says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, B'choftal mekamis nikra kohanim Leviim. Every Kohen is also a Levi. So if you give to a Kohen, you gave to a Levi. Same thing, and Rabbi Akiva says it's not so. So what are they fighting about? So the Pashta says they both agree that Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they both agree that a Kohen doesn't have Kedushas Levi. So that's what they're arguing about. Whom do you have to give the Maaser Rishon to? You have to give it to a Levi who belongs to Shevet Levi, or you have to give it to a Levi who has Kedushas Leviyah. If you need Kedushas Leviyah, so then you're not Yotze. The Rama Paskins, you're not Yotze if you give to a Kohen. The Rama Paskin like the Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Halachik Rabbi Akiva Mechaveira. If it's Rabbi Akiva against one Yochid, if it's Rabbi Akiva against all the Tanaim, then we don't Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva against one Tana, so Halachik Rabbi Akiva Mechaveira. So the Rama Paskin is like Rabbi Akiva that you're not Yotze Mederaisa if you give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi, you have to give a Davke to a you're not Yotze to give it to a Kohen. You have to give a Davke to a Levi as Kedushas Leviyah. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagrees. He thinks, no, that you can be Yotze if you give it to a Kohen also, because the Kohen is from Shevet Levi. That's what I would have said. So Tosis shows from the Gemara that it's not so. Tosis claims that's what you see from the Gemara, that a Leviyah shenivol al nochri is not the Nischalalof in Kedushas Leviyah. And a Kohanah shenivol al nochri is Nischalalof, and if she has a son for the Nochri, there is a Chiyah Pidyon HaBen. Azolzi Blayb Mal Leviyah. So you see that the Kohanah is not a Leviyah. And remember, I didn't know when I was a rabbi for 5 years in Paramus. So one of the Balabatim was a Kohen, he was a Baal Tshuva. I didn't know that his daughter was married to a Nochri. He became a Baal Tshuva after the daughter got married. So one Shabbos, I was going through the dinim, it was Parsha's boy. So I was on Shabbos afternoon, before Mincha, I was going through the dinim of Pidyon HaBen. So as it happened, she was expecting a firstborn child at that time. And the father was wondering whether there's going to be a Pidyon HaBen or not. So those were the dinim that I was learning. You know? In America, every Gemara is relevant. Yes. So that's so Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi. So Tosfos quotes Reb Shimon, and the Yerushalmi has a different resolution to the stira. Was Shevet Levi on top of the mountain, or was Shevet Levi Lamato Zokta? The whole Shevet Levi was together. Reuben, Shimon, Levi was on top of one of the mountains. When it says HaKohanim VeHaLeviim, they're not two different groups, HaKohanim and HaLeviim. HaKohanim who are Leviim, even though it doesn't say that. It says HaKohanim VeHaLeviim. It sounds like it's two different groups. So that's why he insists that it doesn't mean that.
When Yeshua mentions it, he mentions Halavim and Noseyara. So it's obvious. When Yeshua mentions what happened at Har Abel and Har Gerizim, he mentions the Noseyara.
So that's Mamish to Levim. I don't know. So Shtar Kikasha, I don't know. I don't know how he says it. So these are three opinions. How do I answer the steer? Then the Gemara quotes another Tana. The next Tana denies in Gansen. Rebbe, I'm there. Rebbe says, just a minute. You made such a kasha that Shevet Levi is on top of the mountain. Here it says Shevet Levi is on the bottom. I want you to know, Zokta, nobody was on top of any mountain. It says six shvatim should be al ha-grizim, six shvatim al ha-rezo, al ha-revo. So he says, no. It says in Chumash, all of Mate Menashe. What do you mean, all of? There was one Shevet and the other was sitting on top of them. Olav. Olav means next to them. So here, Al Hagrizim means next to Hagrizim. And next to Harevel. So he says, you just have to rethink. Nobody was there. Nobody's there. All these Tanaim, nobody was there. Hagrizim, Harevel. So the first Tanaim assumed that you take the Pasuk Kipshuto. Al Hagrizim means they were standing, they climbed up, they were standing on top of Hagrizim, Harevel. And Rebbe says, no. Kol Rabbi Yomer, what does he say? Elavi Ela Lamata Hemomdim. The six shvatim with the kohanim and levim. Nobody was on top of any mountain. Everybody was lamata, but these six shvatim were near Hagrizim, and they were near Harevo. And then the kohanim and levim were in the middle. And then what happens? So it says, Ela yamdu levarech esam, veela yamdu ala klala. The six shvatim participated in the brocha, and the six shvatim participated in the klala. So what do you mean they participated in the brocha? The pasuk says that the Levim screamed out the klala, and then it says there was a bracha and a klala. So even though the pesukim only list off 11 arurim, or huish shiaset pesal masech, or huish shiaset kach v'kach, 11 different pesukim with different curses, it doesn't say what they said for the bracha. So the Gemara says it's self understood. They said the exact same thing first. First they said a bracha, and then they said a klala. So the understanding is that the Levim said. It says nechumish. V'yano halavim v'yomru, v'yano halavim means b'kol rom. That we had before. V'yaniso v'amarto is b'kol rom. So it says v'yano halavim v'yomru means they proclaimed first a bracha, then a klala, then a bracha, then a klala, then a bracha and a klala. It's not that they said all the 11 brachas and then they said all the 11 klalas. It's ha-bracha v'es-ha-klala. So in the singular, so the Tanoim understand there was a bracha, klala, bracha, klala, bracha, klala. So, and only those six shvatim, it says v'yano kol hom v'yomru amen. Everybody answered Amen. So only those six shvatim said Amen on the bracha, and only the other six shvatim said Amen on the klala. So the Tanaim think that that's not correct. It says V'ona kol ha'am. Everybody answered Amen. So the whole difference was that the Levim and the Kohanim Levim in the middle, they faced these six shvatim when they recited a bracha, and everybody screamed out Amen. Then they turned around, they faced the other six shvatim when they proclaimed the klala. And everybody said Amen. So it doesn't really mean Ele yamdu levarech hasam, Ele yamdu ala klala. It doesn't mean they stood in that direction when the klala was proclaimed, facing their direction. So the Tanaim reinterpreted the whole story, the whole drama of Hagriz Maharevel. So that's how Rebbe has a tradition. Elu yelu lamate imam. Nobody, none of the shvatim climbed up on top of the mountains. Rashi says what? Elu Elu Yisrael Ulevim Lamata Hayu. Yeah, Yisrael means all of the 12 Shvatim, no? Yeah. Yeah. The Yisrael with the Levim. So the Yisrael means the 6 Shvatim and the 6 Shvatim. With the Levim, nobody was on top of Hagriz Maharevel. They were all on the flat ground. But there were 6 Shvatim next to Hagrizim, 6 Shvatim next to Harevel. And Al Hagrizim means Besamuch. It doesn't mean to be taken literally on top of. Like for all of Mata Menashe means next to them. All of Mata Menashe. And the Levim would proclaim a bracha facing that direction. And everybody would say Amen, not just those 6. And then the Levim would face the other direction, they would proclaim the klal, and everybody would scream out Amen, not just the other 6. That's how the Tana Rebbe says. And everybody said Amen. And klapi harevel pascha beklal, and everybody said Amen. But it says that 6 shvatim should be al hagrizim, and for the Gemara name, mayal, al besomach, next to it. Kiritanya. There is a machlekes hatanoim in a Mishnah Menachos regarding lechem haponim. It says you have to make, every Friday you have to bake 12 lechem haponim. You have to put shtei marochas on the shulchan in the heichal. Sheish marochas, 6 lechem haponim piled up over here, 6 over here. And it says, and you should put bazichei levoina to burn, and then it sits there on the shulchan until next Shabbos morning. And then you take it off and you burn the levoina on the mizbeach achitzan. And then the Kohanim eat from a Lava Malka. They can eat Shabbos all day long. And from Lava Malka, they can eat, it's like a Kochi Kochim. Kochi Kochim is only Nechel Yom B'Lai Lad Chatzoy. So they have to eat the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos and Matzoy Shabbos till midnight, and they have to finish it all up, the Lechem Aponim. So the Pasuk says, V'nasata al ha'mareches. Mareches is the 2 piles of 6 Lechem Aponims each. They had shelves. They had bars, and they had shelves going across, so that the lechem aponim were not sitting on top of each other. And then it says, "V'nasata al amareches," on top of each pile of 6, they had to put a container containing levoino zaka, that you're going to burn later on the Mizbech, like Keteris, you're going to burn on the Mizbech. So how do you translate when Asata al Hamareches? So most of the Tanaim say, literally, al Hamareches, there was a container, a cup, that had the Levana Zaka on top of the top Lechem Aponim here, on top of the top Lechem Aponim there. And this Tana disagrees. Rabbi Yomer al Besomuch. No, it wasn't on top, it was next to it. So Tosfos has the long Ariches here. So they say sometimes it's clear and obvious that the word like for all of Mate Menashe, it doesn't mean that Shevet Menashe was sitting on top of the others, it means next to them. That's beferish clear. Sometimes it says all of, and l'chatchila what it means is that A should be on top of B, and b'dieved if A is next to B is also good. Tosfos gives a case like that. And sometimes we say that since it's preferable, it's more bekavadik to do the mitzvah, if you're doing a mitzvah, it's more bekavadik to do it to have A next to B, as, again, sometimes it says, all the Mata Menashe, so it's beferish that it means next to it. It's impossible to interpret. B'shum panim yof, it's impossible to interpret that it means on top of. That they're standing on top of them. It sometimes says, all of l'chatchila means one should be on top of the other, but the evidence next to it is good. And sometimes it says, all of, you could have interpreted that it should be on top, but then you would be mekayim the mitzvah in a very strange fashion. So then we also recommend that better is to do olav next to it. So that's what this Tana Rebbe says. It's mutna. What are you putting a cup of levana zak on top of the top lechem upon him? Each one of the lechem upon him has its own sniff, has its own shelf that they shouldn't crush into each other. Would you want to have a roll that had something sitting? They had something sitting in it for a whole week, making a dent in the roll. You like to have a roll with a puffy top. It should look pretty. So if you're going to put the levoina zaka in a container and a cup on top of the top lechem upon him, it's going to crush into it. So it's not covered on mitzvah. See, here we say that even lechatchila doesn't mean olav on top. Sometimes there are other cases where lechatchila olav on top, and but you have it next to it, will be good. But here, because it's more bekavadik, so Rebbe insists, the other Tanaim say wrong. Olav. Menasat all of Levona Zaka means on top of each of the Marech. Sat al Marechas means al. And Rebbe says no. Mistabra over here, then it means next to it. Al Besamach. Atoim al Besamach ain al Mamish. Maybe means like the other Tanim Zaktenen. Kshayim of Sakosa al Ha'orain. You should put on top of the Orain the Parechas. The Parechas was not on top of the Orain. The Orain was in the Kodesh HaKadosh. And the Parechas says Mavdil Ben HaKodesh Ben Kodesh HaKadosh. The Parechas was not on top of the Orin. So Al obviously means Besomach, like all of Mata Menashe means Besomach. The Hechreacha means, there's no other way to read it. It has to mean. So he says, just like over there, you have no Brera. The word Al in Tanakh there means Besomach. So here also, it's not covered on mitzvah to put the Bazilcha Levana directly on top of the Lechem upon him. So that's why you have to interpret that Al means Besomach over here. The Gemara is going to continue later about how they did. The Levim first said a bracha. They first they faced the direction of Hagrizim, they said a bracha, then they faced the direction of Harevels, and they said a klala. And it's not that only the six Shvatim answered to the bracha, the other six Shvatim answered to the klala. Everybody answered to the bracha, and everybody answered to the klala. That's what Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi. Everybody answered. Yonah Kolham, take a look in the Tosfos, the first wide line. First very wide line in the Tosfos. Yonah Kolham, Yom Ramein. And everybody answered Amen. So what does it say? What does it mean? No, it means the Levim should face that direction when they first say the Bracha. And then the Levim should face the other direction when they say the Klala. And everybody answered Amen. Then the Gemara is going to spell out what the Rishami says also. They alternated Bracha, Klala, Bracha, Klala. Not that they said all the 11 Brachas first, then they said all the 11 Klalas. They said one at a time. Alternating.
Always in one direction. The bracha was always in one direction.
Bracha, everybody was facing Hagrizim, and then by the klal, everybody was facing Harev. Yeah. It took a long time. Now the Gemara is going to say it took an even longer time. It took a very long time. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the Abed Brai said, Baruch Bechlal, Baruch Bifrat. First they said a bracha, then they said a klala. And first they said a bracha, klali is dika bracha, then they gave a proti is dika bracha. First a bracha, then a klal, bracha, klal, bracha, klal, back and forth. And then, oru bichlal, oru bifrat. They said oru, they gave a general oru, and then he gave a particular oru. And then in each bracha, in each klal, on each and every mitzvah of the Taryag mitzvahs, they gave four parts to it. Lilmo de lalamed lishmo velasos. What are these four things? Tommy got to know. There's a mitzvah, one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the Ramach mitzvahs, I say. We say there's 613 mitzvahs the Gemara has in Makkos, and then it's the breakdown is you have 365 mitzvahs leses and 248 mitzvahs I say. So the one of the mitzvahs I say probably should be Limud HaTorah. So the Rambam counts one mitzvah of learning Torah, Lalamed Torah L'Acherim. Lalamed Torah L'Acherim. That's the only mitzvah is Lalamed Torah. There's no mitzvah to learn. It's only mitzvah to teach Torah to other people. So you're not mechuyev to learn. No. If you're not going to learn, you won't be able to teach. But the chiyev is to transmit the masorah of Torah to other people.
Well, learning is a hechsher mitzvah.
Hechsher mitzvah. Learning is nishke mitzvah. Learning is only a hechsher mitzvah. So what do we say, bracha? You don't say a bracha when you chop down the lulav from the tree. That's only a hechsher mitzvah. You don't say a bracha when you build a sukkah. That's only a hechsher mitzvah. Say the bracha when you sit in sukkah, when you shake the lulav. So why do you say brichas ha-Torah? So the answer is, maybe it's not really a brichas ha-mitzvah. It's a different din. All the brichas ha-mitzvah are only by the Rabban, and the brichas ha-Torah is probably the Raisa. The Ramban writes. He thinks brichas ha-Torah is the Raisa. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. We assume all the other brichas ha-mitzvah are only by the Rabban. So according to the Rambam, there's only one mitzvah, l'lamed Torah l'acherim. It's a little strange. If you would have asked me, if I would have been a Tanya, I would have said there's only one mitzvah, l'lamed Torah. L'lamed, okay, mehechetes. So Zamri Shoinim, the Nitziv in his commentary Chumash quotes, the Rambam holds only one mitzvah, l'lamed Torah l'acherim. Very clear in the Rambam. Other Rishonim say there are two mitzvahs, l'lamed or l'lamed. There's one mitzvah you should learn, another mitzvah you should transmit Torah to other people. Then the Nitziv quotes, there are some Rishonim account, four mitzvahs, Lilmad Olamed Lishma Velasas. What's it does Lishma Velasas? Lilmad Olamed, to learn Torah and to teach Torah to other people. However much Torah you have, you should transmit it to someone else. What is Lishma Velasas? Lishma Upzehitin the mitzvahs, Velasas, Mekayim Tzayin the mitzvahs, that's not a chelik of Talmud Torah. Those are the other 613 mitzvahs. These Rishonim say there are four mitzvahs on Liman HaTorah. What do you have? They have Lilmad Olalam and Vasas Lishma, Vasas Lasas. So the Nitziv writes a fantastic Chiddush in his commentary on Chumash that these are all four Pratim within Talmud Torah, and these Rishonim count them as four distinct mitzvahs. So he says Lilmad Olalam, we know to learn to teach. Lishma, he says, the Gemara says Lishma means Techazer, to review. Shomrem Bivitnecho, Halosh and Apostle in Mishlei, you should preserve the Torah, make sure that you don't forget what you learned. How can you preserve it when you're going to take memory pills? Go to the drugstore and take memory pills so you shouldn't forget your learning. There ain't no such thing. There are no memory pills. So how can you preserve the Liman HaTorah? You have to chaza. So he says, Lilmud is a mitzvah to learn it for the first time. And Lishma Shamrim Bivitnecha means a chiyuv, to see to it that you don't forget what you learned. You have to keep on chazing. You shouldn't say, I already learned that, I don't want to learn again. That's Lishma. What's his lasos? Lasa means to be mekayim the mitzvahs. No, that's a different mitzvah to be mekayim. No, lasa has to do with liman haTorah also. These Rishonim say that all four, liman lam nishma v'lasa, all four have to do with liman haTorah. What's lasa? So the Nitziv writes that in Yiddish, flegen zei zogen in the yeshiva, when someone wanted to say a chiddush, a shtikel Torah, so he used to say in Yiddish, a geit machen Torah. So he thinks that the Hebrew word lasa means to be mechadish. There's a chiyuv to be mechadish. Whoever has the ability to be mechadish. I don't think it means, I remember there was once a bocher in yeshiva, he was sitting with his pen and a pad, and he was learning a certain masechta for the first time in his life. He was going to write a sefer. What do you mean, write a sefer? He was learning in order to be mechadish. I think that's ridiculous. If min hashamayim they give you a schus that some chiddush falls into your head, that's marvelous. You should share it with everyone else. But to learn the masechta, Amanas l'chadish, I don't think that's right. But the Nitziv says, lasos means to machen Torah, to be mechadish Torah. It means a person shouldn't hold himself back. If in the middle of learning he sees a problem, so he should work hard to try to resolve the problem, try to figure out what the answer is. And even if it means you have to give a suggestion, so that's permissible and recommended and required, and is a mitzvah sesei. Lasos, and some Rishonim count it as a separate mitzvah, the four mitzvahs in Liman HaTorah. So they got it from this Gemara. We have the Nusach and Davening, and Avarabi said, Lilam Lishma Velasikol Devar Torah Zois. So the Gemara says, they had a bracha and a klola on each of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah, and they gave a bracha Blessed be the one who learns Hilchas Shabbos. Blessed be the one who teaches Hilchas Shabbos. Blessed be the one who chazes Hilchas Shabbos. Blessed be the one who is mechadish Hilchas Shabbos. I said it wrong. So first it said, blessed be the one who learns Hilchas Shabbos. Cursed be the man who doesn't learn Hilchas Shabbos. Blessed be the man who teaches Hilchas Shabbos. Cursed be the person. And they kept on turning from the right to the left, to the right to the left. They can get dizzy. And blessed be the person who chazes Hilchas Shabbos. Cursed be the person who does not have Hilchas Shabbos. And blessed is the person who mechadish something in Hilchas Shabbos. And cursed is the person who is not mechadish in Hilchas Shabbos. They said each and every mitzvah four times. First the bracha, klola, bracha, klola, bracha, klola. Four different parts to each one. I don't know. How does it fit with the pasuk in Chumash? It only has 11. I don't know.
But if someone's not mechadish in Shabbos, he deserves a curse.
Yeah. If he's capable and he holds himself back, or he wastes his time watching television or whatever, so he deserves a curse. That's how the Gemara understands. It's a whopper of a Gemara here. So they gave, and each of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah, they gave a bracha and a klala, a bracha bichlal, and a bracha bichlal and a bracha bifrat, a klala bichlal, a bracha bichlal and a klala bichlal. They first said, we're going to talk now about Hilchas Tzitzis. So they said, Baruch HaShiyokim is Divrei Torah Zayis. And then they said, or Ashalayachim is Divrei Torah Zayis. They gave on every mitzvah bichlal, bifrat, they gave first a bracha bichlal, and then they gave a bracha bifrat, on each and every mitzvah. So the Gemara says it took hours and hours and hours. They were standing there forever. How did they finish in one day? I don't know. So the Gemara says there were so many brisen. We assume that was a Krisis bris. At Hagriz Maharevel, that was a Krisis bris. There was a bris at Har Sinai, and then there was a bris in Arvis Moyov. The two teuchachas, the teuchacha Michikoisai, the teuchacha in Kisavai, it says, Eile Dibri Abis, at the end of the teuchacha Michikoisai, it says, Eile Dibri Abis, Ashakaras Hashem in Israel, Bahar Sinai. Then at the end of the teuchacha in Kisavai, it says, Eile Dibri Abis, Ashakaras Hashem in Israel, Bahar Moyov, before Moshe Rabbeinu Pistol, Melvar Abis, Ashakaris Tom Bichore. So it says, Beferish, there were two different creases brisen. Then the pasuk says you should make a krisis bris at hagrisim and harevel. So the first time it says that they said brochas and klolas and a krisis bris and lilma the lama lishma ulas, and each one of the taryag mitzvahs are such a long arichas. And he says v'chein b'sina v'chein b'arvis moyev. There were three krisis bris. One at Har Sinai was the first. The second one is arvis moyev before Moshe Rabbeinu dies. That's the bris that's mentioned in the Teuchach and Kisavoy, and then it says in Chumash when they cross over the yard, and they should make a third Krisis Bris and Hagriz Ma'arevel. These are three, and each one of them had all of these parts. Shenemar, as it says, Eilei Divrei Bris Hashitziv Hashem Es Moshe, Hashmartim Divrei Bris Hazayis. So these were three different Brisin, and each Bris had all of these parts to it. It makes a whole calculation of how many sections it had. Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says, what do you mean? The bris at Hagrizim HaRevel was the completion of the bris at Arvis Moyov. That's not a separate bris. The bris the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the bris, but he wanted the bris to be made in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't permitted to cross over the Yarden. So how do you do this? The Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you begin the Krisis Bris in Arvis Moyov, and your Talmud Yeshua Bonu will be your Memale Mokim, and he'll complete this Bris that you're beginning in Arvis Moyov, he'll complete it at Hagriz Ma'arevel. So Reb Shimon Tana says, that's not a separate Bris. You don't count the separate Bris of Hagriz Ma'arevel separate from Arvis Moyov, that's the same Bris. But he's masking with the first Tanakam is anonymous here, he's masking with the first Tanakam that there were three Bris, but not that the three Bris in ABC are Harsina, Arvis Moyov, and Hagriz Ma'arevel. Hagriz Ma'arevel is the Gemara of the Bris that Moshe Rabbeinu began and Yeshua ended in Hagrizim. So where was the third Bris? Oyel Moed. Oyel Moed was the third Bris. Where does it come off to say that? Because in Chumash, you have introductory lines to different parshas. So a lot of times, Odav Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai Lema. A lot of times they have a davish al mamayisha be arvis moyav lemer, and a lot of times they have a davish al mamayisha be oil moyav lemer. So the Torah is given three times. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. The Gemara says kit tanoi will be plucked at the hani tanoi. Reb Shimon, who says that arvis moyav is not a that hagriz ma'arevel is not a separate bris. Hagriz ma'arevel is just a gemar of the bris that began in arvis moyav. But he said subscribes to what the Tanakhama said. There were three brisin. But the third bris was oil moed, because the Torah was given three times, and each time the Torah was given, that was the Kris's bris. And if three times the Torah was given, state nechumi, damash al moishah behar sino, damash al moishah mi oil moed lema, damash al moishah mi arvis moed lema. So those correspond to the three Kris bris. That's where Rabbi Akiva says in his brisa. So Rabbi Akiva says the same as Reb Shimon. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. The Tanoim, the Chazanish explains in his Sefer. Chazanish has in Chelek Arachayim. So every simon in the Chazanish, the way they printed it, every simon goes in the order of Shulchan Aruch. So it starts with Hilchas Birchas Hashachar, and Hilchas Kriyashman, Hilchas Tfilah, then he has Dinei Shabbos, then he has Hilchas Pesach, then he has a section by Shavuos, Seder Nesina Satorah. It has nothing to do with the Dinim in Shulchan Aruch about Shavuos, Seder Nesina Satorah. How was the Torah given? When were the mitzvahs given? Some mitzvahs were given Kodem Matan Torah, some mitzvahs were given only Lacha Matan Torah, not all the mitzvahs were given Har Sinai. And then he deals with this, the Tanoim were working on this issue. When the Torah is a composite of three different texts. It's true. The Apikursim took it and they said it's a composite of three different texts. None of them were written by the Rabban Shalom. So we agree with them. The Torah is a composite of three different texts, all three texts written, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, by Dam Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai Lema, Dam Hashem Moshe Be'ol Mayd Lema, Dam Hashem Moshe Be'arvis Mayd Lema. Obviously, there's a composite of three different texts. So why were there three different texts? So that's a shaila that was bothering the Tanoim. So the first Tana, Rabbi Shmuel says, simple, I'll tell you why. When the Rabban Shalom gave the Din in Har Sinai, he didn't give every single din, every single sharatzi, and every single bir aloch and the Mishnah Berurah. He gave Moshe Rabbeinu and every single din. That's too much. It's a shock. So first he gave the outline, in outline form. He gave 613 mitzvahs b'kitzah, each one. Then later on, during Oyel Moed, the 40 years traveling in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu more details. So whatever mitzvah was given b'shleimus at Har Sinai, Fratik, so that's the text. Adam Hashem and Moshe b'Har Sinai Leimar. So that text will be included, incorporated in the Chumash. There's no need for a later text. Any mitzvah that was not given in its complete form, only given a sketchy outline form, and then in Oyel Moed more details were given, so that'll be the final text. Then there were some mitzvahs that weren't even completed in Oyel Moed. They were only completed when the Rebbe Shlom gave the Torah the third time in Arvis Moed, before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So then you have to have text C, you have to have the third text that's more complete. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Shmuel says, Klolus Nemer B'Sinai, the general outline of all the 613 mitzvahs were given at Sinai, Uprotas B'Oel Moed, and a lot of the mitzvahs, not all the details were given the first time around, so some of the mitzvahs details were given later, so that text is incorporated in the Chumash. Why should you incorporate the first text is incomplete, incorporate the second text. Sometimes the second version, the second time around, was also incomplete. So the Baruch Shalom had to give all the details in the third time. So that's why some mitzvahs is of Adab Hashem Moshe, the Arvis Moyev Lema, you include the third text. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and Rashi made famous Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rashi, beginning of Parshas Behar, writes, he quotes from the Sifra, that Mas Sinai, Mayin Shmita Eitzel Ha Sinai, what's the connection? So the answer is just like the laws of Shemitah, when Emor Klal Deseh Protoseh B'Diktukeh, everything from A to Z, everything was given Hasina, so too all the 613 mitzvahs, everything was given from A to Z, every single detail was given Hasina. So then it was given a second time in Ol Moed from A to Z, then it was given a third time in Arvis Moed from A to Z, and each time a different text, each time a different nusach. So Dafim Fashtein. So why did the Rabban Shalom give a whole different Mahadura? If each time he gave all the details from A to Z, every single detail was given each time. So why did he need a different text? Why were there three different Mahaduras? And why did he decide at the end of the Abayim Shalom, at the end of the Abayim Shana, in the Midbar, he decides, with respect to these mitzvahs, use Mahadura Aleph. With respect to these mitzvahs, use Mahadura Beis. With respect to those mitzvahs, use Mahadura Gimel. Why did he decide on Madura base and Gimel and Aleph? What was it all about? We have no idea. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we understand very well. Those mitzvahs that were given in the complete form the first time around for Artaxerxes. So incorporate that. There was never any Madura base, Madura Gimel. Those that were completed in Oil Moed, so you have Madura bases incorporated. Those were not yet completed Madura base, so they're completed Madura Gimel, so you have Madura Gimel. But according to Rabbi Kiva, the Chazon Ish says, we don't even understand why the Rabbanu Shalom give three different Maduras if each time everything boiled down to the exact same thing. Everything there from A to Z. Everything was given the first time, the second time, and the third time. So why would they give in a different Maduras? First eight finished.
Why not the obvious terrorists? You got the Chazar. At that point, it's... why is it such a stark Akasha? Nobody has any...
Can't write it down. Why Chazar in a different Lushan? The first time it was given in one Lushan, you made the Yulkim Ahin and a hair. Second time it was given a totally different Lushan, you made the exact same Halach Lamais, the bottom line, everything the same, but all the Diyukim are going to be different. Then the third time is everything, the bottom line is going to be the same, but all the Diyukim are going to be different. So why was it necessary? Variety is the spice of life. The Baruch Shalom enjoys variety, maybe? I don't know. That's what the Chazon Ish says. According to Rabbi Kiva, he doesn't address that question. Rabbi Shmuel addresses it. He tells you why there was a need for three Mahaduras, because not all the mitzvahs were given with all the details the first time around. Not all the mitzvahs were given with all the details the second time around. The Gemara Chagiga and Davov shows it's a big machlekes hatanoim with nafkaminas halacha lemaisa there. Not too major nafkaminas, slight nafkaminas. The Gemara has a whole Amud Gemara, Geit Avek, quite a few tanaim. The Gemara lists off five tanaim a whole like Rabbi Kiva, five tanaim a whole like Rabbi Shimon, Misham and Mishil, everybody's involved, all the tanaim. Every tanaim under the sun is involved in this machlekes, but they hold like Rabbi Kiva, hold like Rabbi Shimon.
The Gemara Megillah, the term was given Megillah, so in other words, so you had all, for each, parsha, you had the, that's various, until it became a Torah.
That's another question. That's another question in the Gemara Megillah that the Chazon Ish talks about in the same essay on Seder and the Sinas HaTorah. The Gemara Gitna and Daf Samach has a Diyun. We're talking about the text of the Torah Shebichsav as was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara has a discussion when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the text to Moshe Rabbeinu. Did he tell him to write it down right away? So if one day Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the text of Lulav, next day he writes down the text of Tzitzis, next day he writes down Hilchus Shabbos, next day he writes down Hilchus Sukkah, every day he writes down a little Megillah, or no, he told them all the dinim Balpeh, Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach all the dinim, everything Balpeh, he didn't begin to dictate, to write, until the end of the Arba'im Shonah, when he said, okay, sit down now, and write from the beginning to the end. It's not right to write Megillah. So the Gemara says they're not sure about that. Was the Torah given Megillah Nitam, Moshe Rabbeinu, every day that he was given a mitzvah, so he wrote it down. Next day he was given a new mitzvah, he wrote it down. And then at the end of the Arba'im Shonah, he had three different versions of all the mitzvahs coming to Rabbi Kiva, and the Rabbanu Shalom picked out version A, version B, version C, or should you say no? He didn't write anything down. They were only orally transmitted to him, three different versions, and then at the end of the Arba'im Shonah, that's when he started to write down, and Rabbanu Shalom only dictated to him once for the purpose of writing them. So the Gemara has a shaila about that. None of the Chachamim were there when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing. So nobody knows for sure. Was it Megillah Nitna? Was it Torah Chasuma Nitna? But that machlekes is about the Ksivas HaTorah. And he was talking about just the saying over the text of the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu could be, he didn't write anything down, but he could still make the Yukim and Droshes using the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Bam in the Loshen of the Pasuk that he's saying Baal Peh. So that's the Gemara's deal there and getting. Did he write down Megillah? Did he write down nothing until the end of the 40 years? But he certainly had a text, Baal Peh, that he was working with. So all the Tanoim here say that there were three creases brisen on each and every single one of the Tayag mitzvahs. They just argue which are the three. So Rabbi Akiva says the same as Rabbi Shimon. The three creases brisen were Sinai and Oil Moed, and the Arba'im Shonah during the Midbar, and the third Krisis Bris began with Arvis Moiv and was completed with the Hagriz Maharevel. And the first Tana says not so. The first Tana says he doesn't count Oil Moed as a Krisis Bris. He says Ela Debre Bis Ashakras Hashem and Menesa Behar Sinai. And then Ela Debre Bis Ashakras Hashem Biarisimal Vada Bis Ashkar Sita Machaira. It doesn't say there was a Krisis Bis in Ol Moy. It only says there was a Bris at Sinai, there was a Bris at Arvis Moyav. And then it says when they make the brachas of klolus, that's referred to as a bris. So that's the machlok. They both agree. All the Tanaim agree there were three bris, and they just argue which are the three bris.
Ol Moed is not a geographical place. I mean, over 40 years.
Over 40 years, yeah. Over 40 years, it's called Ol Moed. Then the next Tana says the Krisis bris was made at Arvis Moyov. The Gemara says Kolisal Arev Mzeh Bzeh didn't apply until Atshavisolos HaYarden. After they crossed over the Yarden and they were Mekabel Brachas HaKlolz HaGriz MaHarevol, that's when the din of Arvus set in. That's when it began. So what does it mean Arvus? So not only did I accept upon myself, each and every one of the Jews accepted a Krisis Bris, I will observe the mitzvah of lulav, lulman alav lishma v'lasos, and I accept upon myself a curse if I don't lulman, if I don't alam it, if I had the ability to, if I didn't do lishma, if I didn't do lasos. So not only did he accept lulman alav lishma v'lasos and all the mitzvahs, he accepted upon himself an orvus to see to it that all the other deshishim ribo, 550 Jews, accepts upon himself a krisis bris. The Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel, Elio, each and every Jew of the Shishim Ribo are going to observe the mitzvahs also. The next Tanis says, for the Taryag mitzvahs. So the Gemara is multiplying Taryag times 603,550 times Lo Madalam Lishma Velasas, Bechlal Bifrat. So they had so many Shavuos and so many Bris and a telephone number. Such a long number. Taisus starts counting. Taisus is multiplying based on the Yerushalmi. The calculations are not. Here, the Taisus Amar Amisharshia. So they start multiplying the multiplication. The Hink Tunter over here. They didn't multiply it sufficiently. There are a couple of million numbers missing over here. So the next Tana says the same thing. Not only did they accept upon themselves a Krisis Bris, and each one is 630 mitzvahs, Lo Malam, Lishma Velasa, etc., 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 they accepted upon themselves to see to it that everybody else observes Lo Malam, Lishma Velasa, all the 630 mitzvahs. Exactly the same thing as the previous Tana said. So the Gemara said, didn't they say the same thing? Here the next Tana says, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar rako amrim shim Rab Shimon. He heard from the Tanner Rab Shimon bar Yochai. What's it that he heard? Ein l'chol mitzvah mitzvah shiksuva bater. Every single 630 mitzvah, every one, shal anichas ola aboy mishmoin abrisis, shine that except the lilam alam lishma v'lasais, and all the taryag mitzvahs, times, shesh mi'asala v'shlosha salah v'chamesh mi'as v'chamishim. They accepted upon themselves orvis for each one. The orvis only began after Meshav Yisola Sayardin, after Brachas Akhlal Hagriz Ma'arevo. That's what it says. At Har Sinai they didn't accept it. This was at the time that the Arvus set in. So he says you have to multiply everything times 603,550. Amar Rebbe, I hold like Reb Shimon ben Yehuda the name of Reb Shimon, but I add on the following. The Div Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Ish Kvar Rak, Hashem, Shim Reb Shimon, you got to say it right. What is the correct? Ein L'chol Ka Mitzvah, Shabbat Torah, each one is 603 mitzvahs, Shenichus, Shalai Nichus Aleh, same thing. He said the same thing. Multiply max. So what's the difference? Every single Jew accepted 603,550 times. So the Gemara says, my benai, they just said the same thing. If I would have heard from Reb Shimon, I would have said it the correct way. That's how the first one said it also. So the Gemara, Amar Amishar She Arva. They're arguing about this. I accept Mishav Yisrael Sayardin after Hagriz Ma'arevo, the din of Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh sets in. So there's a din of Arevus. So what does Arevus mean? I accept upon myself a bris, I will shake a lulav, and I will see to it that you shake a lulav. I accept upon myself to learn Hilchus Lulav, I'll see to it that you learn Hilchus Lulav. I accept that I will teach Hilchus Lulav, I will see to it that you will teach Hilchus Lulav. Fine. Next time it says, but you accepted upon yourself Orvis to see to it that other people learn Hilchus Lulav, teach Hilchus Lulav, Chazah Hilchus Lulav, and Mechadish in Hilchus Lulav. So I accept upon myself not only Orvis to see to it that you learn teach Chazer and Mechadish Hilchas Lulav, I accept upon myself Orvus on your Orvus, that you obligated yourself to see to it that every other Jew, 3,550 Jews, they're going to learn, teach Chazer and Mechadish and Hilchas Lulav. So I accept upon myself Arvus on the Arvus. Not only Arvus on you, Arvus on your obligation to see to it that other people will fulfill the mitzvahs. And the first time it says, no, come on, it's enough. It's enough that there's Arvus on the other guy. You're not mechuyif to take Arvus on his Arvus on the other guy. So the Gemara says, that's the machlokes hatanoim. So, okay, so strange Gemara. The first Tana thinks that there's only Arvus if you're not living up to your personal obligations. But if you have an obligation towards other people to see to it that they learn, teach, and Chazer, and Mechadesh, and you are learning, teaching Mechadesh and Chazering to the best of your ability. But you're not enforcing, you're not seeing to it that others learn, teach, and Chazer to the best of their ability. So on that, I never accepted Arvus. So the second Tana says, no, there's even Arvus on Arvus. So the Gemara is so precise over here. The Gemara is multiplying how many brisim and 603,000 people. So the Achrayim are bothered with a question over here. 603,550 was not the full population of the Jewish people. That was only the men between the age, the Benes Misholem and Mala, from between the age of 20 and 60. The younger folks before the age of 20 were not included. The older people above 60 are not included. The Erev Rabbah not included. The Erev Rabbah Jewish, whether you like them or not. They made a lot of trouble, according to the Chumash, but they were Jewish, and the Gerim, and the women are not included. All the women are not included. So there's only Arvus for the 603,550 people. There's no Arvus for women. There's no Arvus for women. So that's what they say. Zetman Fandan, that Tosfos is right, that there's no Arvus for women. Where did Tosfos say there's no Arvus for women? So that's a famous story. That's a famous story. There's a Gemara in Brochus. Gemara says in Brochus, Shimon ben Shetach was the chief rabbi. His sister, Shlomtzion Hamalka, was married to Yana HaMelech. Yana was a Meshuggah. He got angry at all the rabbis, so he killed all the rabbis. He didn't kill his brother-in-law. He didn't kill Shimon ben Shetach. So one day he was always waging wars and was always victorious in battle. He used to force all the non-Jews to convert. He's going to solve the problem of intermarriage by converting everybody. So the whole world made everybody convert to Judaism. And the rabbis were very upset about that. Like, Ben Amishugan and his ideas to force everybody to convert, everything was crazy about him. And he was a murderer. So they stayed away from him. So whenever he would be victorious in battle, he would throw a big party. But he was ultra-Orthodox. He was very religious. He killed the rabbis and he did crazy things, but he's religious. So he had a whole party and he didn't know how to bench. And he needed a rabbi. So he asked his wife, where's your brother hiding? She says, I'm going to give you my brother. You're going to kill him. I can't tell you where he's hiding. So he says, I swear to you, I'm not going to touch him. So, okay. So she sends a message and Shimon Shetach shows up. So they just finish eating the whole meal. Shimon Shetach is starving there, hiding in a dungeon, hiding in a basement, that the police shouldn't discover him, they shouldn't kill him too. He comes. So Shimon Shetach was also a shtikala wise guy. So Yana HaMelech gives him a becher of wine, and he says, Rabbi, brother-in-law, say the benching. So he picks up the cup and says, Bar Piagofen, and he drinks the whole cup of wine. So he says, I didn't give you permission to drink the wine, I asked you to bench. So he said, that's ridiculous. What am I going to say? Baruch she'achal yana v'chaverev. You have to say Baruch she'achal m'shaloi. I have to drink a cup of wine. If you want me to bench, I got to drink a cup of wine. Now give me another cup, and I'll be happy to bench for you. So the Gemara says that's the Gemara in Brochus Daf Memches. So the Gemara says Shimon Shetach the Ovad legarmei hudiyav. That's his personal opinion. We don't accept his shita. We paskin if you didn't have a kazayis of bread, you cannot bench for the others. If you had a cup of wine, the lo maspik. You have to eat a kazayis of bread. So Rashi quotes the Bahag Frek Takasha that we paskin l'alocha a kazayis of bread is only chayv to benchman the rabbanim because he didn't need kedei sviya and mistama shemim et shetach mistama hamzei alo ongefresim mistama they had a whole full lavish meal and nobody was hungry after the meal. So how did the Gemara say we don't paskin like Shimon Shetach? A cup of wine is not enough. So what solves the problem? Kazai is hachecha, kazai is dogan. You have to eat a kazai's bread. Kazai's bread is not enough either. You're not mechuyev min atar to bench unless you have kedei sviya. So the whole psak in the Gemara is not understood. So Rashi has a whole shot, a difficult shot. Rashi goes to Bahag, has a difficult answer. All the Rishonim work on this pshat. So the pshat that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is the Tosfos and the Rosh. The Rosh is the Hemshech of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rosh was the end, the Rosh was the Talmud of the Maamar Rutmerg, that was the end of the period of all the Balei HaTosfos. So they all say the following pshat. Le'olam, I can bench for you even if I didn't eat anything. Why? That's the Halacha Kol Yisrael Arev Mezebezeh Yotza Moitzi. Yotza Moitzi. Even if I already said, Gemara says, even if I already said Kiddush, I can say Kiddush for you. I don't need the Kiddush. But you don't know how to say Kiddush. I can say Kiddush for you. The Baal Tekeh was Yotza Tekeh and Shul, and he goes to the old age home, he goes to the hospital, and he blows a second time to be Moitzi then. I is not Mechui B'dover, he was already Yotza Tekeh by davening. The answer is, the Gemara has a Loshin in Rosh Hashanah, Yotza Moitzi. Even though he was already Yotza, he personally was Yotza, he's not Mechui B'dover, but since Kol Yisrael Arev Mezebezeh, so he was Adayin Lo Yotza. If I hit Kiyas and I bench and I keep Shabbos, I'm Yotza the Taryag Mitzvahs 90%. But I'm not Yotza 100%. Kozman, that there's still a Jew left in New Zealand, in the North Pole, who didn't blow Shofar yet, so I wasn't fully Yotza my Mitzvah. So, since I'm still Mechui B'dover, I'm Mechui to blow Shofar if it'll help another Jew, because there's someone who wasn't Yotza that, so that's why I am called Mechui B'dover. So that's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. You really should be able to bench even without having eaten anything. You shouldn't even need a cup of wine. You shouldn't need a piece of bread. You should say, just like Kiddush, but Kiyah Shofar, Yotza Moitzi, so I should be able to bench for you. But you can't be Doivish Karm. How can you say, Baruch Shachalim Shalom Tuvacha, even if you didn't need anything? The Nusach is Baruch Shachalim Shalom. So Shimon Ben Shetach said, to solve that problem is Ginuk, if you have a cup of wine. The Chacham says, it is Ginuk to have a cup of wine. You have to have some bread. If you eat the potatoes, tomatoes, oranges, it's not enough. It's achalno? No. It's self-understood achalno means that you ate bread. So that's the whole Gemara. You need a cup of wine, or you need a kazayis of bread, that it shouldn't be sheke when you say Baruch Shechanu Mishaloi. But strictly speaking, that you should be considered mechuyev b'dover, that's because kol yisrael arev mezebezeh, and you can be mitzvah to the other person. So that's the pshat that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. This is pshat. So Tosfos asks on themselves, isn't it against the Gemara? That's the Gemara Daf Mem Ches about Yanayin. He invited. He asked his wife, Shlom Tzion Amalka, she should get her brother, and she was afraid, and she got him. The whole story. So Tosfos asks the Kasha from the Gemara and Daf Chafam and Beis in Brachas. The Gemara says on Chafam and Beis, the Mishnah says the women are not mechuyev to say Kriyashma because Kriyashma is a mitzvah says to Shazman Grom. They're not mechuyev. But the women are mechuyev to daven, and the women are mechuyev to say benching. Because that's not, benching is not a mitzvah, says the Shazman Grom. So the Gemara says they're not sure whether the obligation of women to bench, but it says in the Mishnah, Noshim Chayavis B'Bechas Hamazin, is that Mederais, is that Mederabbanon? So the Rashi intends to give all kinds of explanations. Why should it be Mederabbanon? If the mitzvah says, say, Shalai Azman Grama, why shouldn't the women be mechuyev to bench Menatar? So, they give, Rashi and Tosfos give different suggestions, what the issue is. So the Gemara says, Asfeke Adina, we're not sure. Whether Noshim Ibrichas Hamazin is Deraisa Derabanan, it's a Safik in the Gemara, no conclusion. They don't come to any conclusion. What's the difference? Bottom line, the women have to bench. So they've got to bench, whether either Menaterim or Derabanan. What's the difference? By the conservatives, it's very important. First, you have to knock everything down to a Din Derabanan. Then you say, Hey Mama, Hey Mamra, Din Derabanan, we are also rabbis and we can throw it out. But by the Orthodox, we don't throw out dinam derabbanan. We don't throw out dinam deraisa. We don't throw out dinam derabbanan. So what's the difference whether it's a din deraisa derabbanan? So the Gemara says, can a woman be moitzi a man? If a man is man ate the meal, he's mechuyev to bench menat Torah. So if a woman is mechuyev menat Torah, so she can be moitzi a man because she's mechuyev b'dover. But if the woman's chiyev to bench is only mederabbanan, so she's not mechuyev b'dover to the same level as the man. So Mishain Bhui Badover in a motio sarabi midechai vosim. That's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak, that if the best Baal Tekeh is an Ochri, or a cheresh out to be cut, nor an isha, so they cannot be moitzi. The rabbim, the baltegeh, has to be a person who is mechui b'davus. If you should assume women, the Mishnah says women are obligated to bench. But if one should assume the obligation of the women to bench is only the rabbanon, so then the women cannot be moitzi. The men, because they ain't mechui b'davus. But we just said, kol yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh. So why can't the women be moitzi the men with the benching? Because the women have a chiyuv arvus for the men. Just like over here. I didn't need anything, Tosafot. If you didn't need anything, so you can't say bach shachalma. But if you had a cup of wine, according to Hashem HaShetek, you had a little bit of bread, you're not mechuyev to bench minatur. You're not mechuyev to bench. But still, you can say brach shahan mishlot, it's not dervish garim, so I could be moitzi the others who ate kedei sviya, because kol yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh. So why can't the woman be moitzi the men? So Tosafot says, Tosafot and the Rosh say, the answer is that the din of arvus doesn't apply to women. So a group of achrenim say, it's mefurish in the Gemara over here, because the Gemara says that the arvus only is 603,550 people. That's only the men. The women are not included in that census count. So you see beferish that there is no arvus for women. So it's very shver. The gerim are also not included. And the people before the age of 20 are not included, and the adults after the age of 60 are not included. So there's no arvus for people younger than 20. There's no arvus for gerim. There's no arvus gerim for the other people. There is arvus. How can you say there's no arvus for gerim? Anai chidush. It doesn't make sense, no arvus for women either. Why should there be no arvus for women? What, they're only half Jews. Why shouldn't they be considered Jewish? So Rabbi Kevege has a tshuva where he discusses that. So the pasha pshat, there's a long Mishnah Berurah on this topic in Hilchas Kiddush. So the pasha, the answer is, when Tosfos is forced into saying Tosfos with the Rosh, when they say there's no arvus for women, it doesn't mean what it sounds like. It means if a woman is mechuyev in benching, then the women have a chiyuv arvus to see to it that the men bench also. Then a woman would be able to bench for the man, even if she didn't eat a whole meal. But if the women are not mechuyev in a mitzvah of benching, so they're not mechuyev to see to it that the men bench either. Any mitzvah that the women are mechuyev in, so then they have a din of arvus. They have to see to it that the men will be yotzei. Do the men have a chiyuv arvus for the women? Of course they have. Why not? Today's only talking, do the women have a chiyuv arvus to the men? So on a mitzvah that the women are mechuyev in, so part of their obligation to keep the mitzvah of whatever mitzvah eating matzah is to see to it that the men eat matzah also. But if the women are not mechuyev to bench themselves, so they're not mechuyev to see to it that the men bench. That's what Tosfos meant. That's what Tosfos Nerosh meant. There's no arvus for women on a mitzvah that the women are potter from. But a mitzvah that you are mechuyev in, of course there's arvus from the women to the men, from the men to the women. There's going to be arvus in all directions.
The woman allowed the Isha to teach the children benching, for example.
Usually
she's part of the chinuch.
Of course, she's the one who does all the chinuch. Yeah. He once spoke about that. There's a Gemara in Nazir, where the Gemara says chinuch is only from the father to the son. From the mother to the son there's no chinuch, and from the father to the daughter there's no chinuch. So all the Rishonim ask Kakasha from the first daf in Sukkah. It says beferish that there is a chiv chinuch. The mother has a din of chinuch with respect to the children also. What do you mean? There's only chinuch from the father to the son. The mother to the children nit, and the father to the daughters nit. So that's what a lot of the Rishonim explained. The Gemara in Nazir is talking about a different kind of chinuch. To train the children to say Kriya Shema, to say Moedani, and to wash Negel Vasa, and to do all the mitzvahs, and to act like a mensch, also a mitzvah. To have derech eretz, also a mitzvah. Of course the mother has the chiyuv. The father has chiyuv. The mother has a bigger chiyuv. The mother is there all the time, all day long. The Gemara Nazir is talking a special kind of a case. The Gemara Nazir is talking, the father declares that his son should be considered a Nazir. He's mekabel naziris for the son. So the Gemara says, midin chinuch. What do you mean, midin chinuch? When the son grows up, he's not mechuyev to accept naziris on himself. It's not like lulav atzitzis, a shofar, that the kid, when he grows up, is going to be mechuyev to keep all the mitzvahs. Knows how many people accept naziris? Hardly anybody accepts naziris. So the mother is not mechuyev to train her children to become nazirim before bar mitzvah. The father is not mechuyev to train his daughter. The Gemara has a strange concept. A father with a son. So if the father thinks that it's matim, the father thinks that it's recommended for the son, so that too is included in chinuch, that the father should be madar as b'nazir. he should declare that his son should observe Neder Naziris, and the son is mechuyev to observe it. Midin chinuch. But normal chinuch, chinuch and mitzvahs, chinuch and saying brachas, chinuch and derech eretz, and midas tovus, that of course the mother has a chiyuv. Avada the mother has a chiyuv. That's the first daf in Sukkah. The Gemara is beferish that the mothers have a chiyuv, chinuch and the children. The Gemara says Heleni Hamalka was sitting, she had seven sons, and they sat in the Sukkah that was questionable whether the Sukkah was kosher. So the Gemara says she was an Orthodox woman. She wouldn't allow her children, she had sons, seven boys, she wouldn't allow her sons, even though they were ketanim, she wouldn't allow them to sit in the Sukkah that wouldn't be kosher. So the Gemara befares that women do have a chiyuv chinuch on their sons, on their children.
Nowadays, most benching is drabonim because we don't need sevia.
Some of us eat more than kedei sviya. Some of us eat a lot. We don't eat a kedei sviya from bread. That could be. Years ago, and in Eretz Yisrael, still in Europe, the main meal would be six slices of bread and a little piece of chicken, a little piece of fish or something. Today we have six slices of fish and a little piece of bread. So that's a machlekes. When you say benching is only deraisa if you ate kedei sviya, means you ate kedei sviya from bread? Oh no, you ate a little bit of bread and you had the whole meal together was kedei sviya. So that's a question, that's a big machlekes in Rishonim, and a machlekes had a paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe paskins like the Mogen Avram, that if you have a kazais of bread and a whole filling meal, like most people do on Shabbos, you have a teeny weeny little bit of bread, then you have a whole elaborate meal with kugel, with sholent, with fish, with soup, with flesh and everything, hakabakal, mikol, kol, you have everything. So that's a chiyah benching minatur, that is called kedei sviya. Doesn't have to be kedei sviya from the bread alone. So that's the pashtus on this gemara. In the Sefer Keren Ora, on Saita, he says he doesn't like this diuk that the Achrayna made. They wanted to bring a hachocha that Chesus is right, that there's no orbis for women, because the gemara is multiplying 613 mitzvahs times lil madalam alish mavalasas times 603,550 only. There's only orbis for the men, no orbis for the women. So he said, how can you say such a thing? That's not what Tosfos meant. Tosfos meant women don't have orvis on benching. If the women are not mechuyev to bench, they don't have a chiyuv to see to it that the men have to bench. But on a mitzvah that the women are mechuyev, of course there's orvis. In a mitzvah the women are mechuyev, of course the men have orvis to the women. There's always orvis. So the Gemara's numbers are inaccurate. After all those multiplications that Tosfos is multiplying, big numbers they're multiplying over here. So the Keren Ora says it's all inaccurate. You can't say there's no harvest for Gerim, for the Erev Rav. You can't say there's no harvest for people over 16, younger than 20. Of course there's harvest for everybody. So there's harvest for the women also. The numbers are not so accurate. I mean, the number of Chumash is accurate. 603,550, that's the Jewish men between the age of 20 and 60. But that's not the accurate number for the purpose of harvest. So the question was raised before, what do you mean? They took a bris, a shvua, a klola, a brocha, a klola, lilma, the lam, lishma, velasa, each one of the 613 mitzvahs. But it doesn't say that. It lists off particular mitzvahs. It says, ashiyase pesel amasecha, or maklo oviviyima, or masik vul reyeu, or shechevim chaisantai. It lists off specific averas. It doesn't list off all the 600. So the Gemara has to answer that kasha. That's what you have. So the Gemara says, Dorash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmanim Maturgmar, the Rabbi Shimon Lokesh, one of the Chachamim said, the brachas of klalas were on all the 613 mitzvahs. But they wanted to emphasize explicitly Eishes Ish. So all the 11 brachas of klalas are legay and Eishes Ish. Apparently there's a big Yetzirah for Eishes Ish. Yeah. You look in Rashi on Parshas Bereishis. Rashi says that the Nochosh, how does it say? Vayishneim harumim v'loiz b'shoshev ha-Nochosh ha-Yorum. So Rashi says, what's the connection? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Nochosh saw Chava, and she was Arum, and they were practicing Tashmish, and it was Nesava l'Chava. The Nochosh used to be an animal who was able to walk, according to the Midrashim. And he wanted to get Adam Arishan to eat from the Eitz Hadas and to bump him off, to get him out of the way, so he'd be able to live with Chava. So he started up. He was the first one who started. The chet of the Eitz Hadas was an Eishes Ish. Then Rashi quotes the Medrash, what motivated Cain to bump off Hevel? So Rashi says, because Cain, a teled es Cain, ve'esochid es Hevel, so it says three times es. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Cain, who did Cain marry? there were no girls. Who did he marry? So Rashi says, Es Kayin, Es Atofa Lekayin, Es Marbi, had a twin sister. Es Achiv Es Hevel, he had two twin sisters. So Kayin was jealous. Why should he have only one wife? And why should he have two wives and I have one wife? So he bumped them off, so he'll have all three wives. So it started, all the sins in the world started with Eshes Ish. So that's what this Amora says. There was Brachas Eklalis, Lil Meralam Lishma Velasas on all the 613 mitzvahs multiplied by 603,550. It was all day long. They were going on. And he says the 11 that I mentioned, that's in order to give chizuk to Eshes Ish, because that's a big, there's a tremendous Yetzirah of Eshes Ish. So that's why it says, Or Huisha Shiasip. How does he know? Because it says, Or Huisha Shiasip Pesel Masicha. Cursed be the person who worships Avodah Zarah. That's all. Cursed be the person. That's the ganze zach. He give him a curse. Mishapora. That's a guy back south from the Kenyan Moise. Give him a Mishapora. That's all. The guy worships Avodah. Give him a Mishapora. Give him a skila. What kind of Mishapora? Elizeh habu al ha'er of a holy bain. No, all the brachas are clawless. All that is mentioned, that's all to emphasize Eshes Ish. What does it mean if she asks a person of Masicha? A man has an affair with an Eshes Ish, and then they have a child. And they don't want everybody to know that this is not the child from the husband. So they send it, they give the child up to a non-Jewish orphanage to have him adopted. And then he's adopted by Goyim. And New York City is adopted by Goyim. And they're going to bring him up as a guy who's going to worship Avodah Zarah. So cursed be the parents who caused their child to worship Avodah Zarah. The one who worships Avodah Zarah is not only did he give him a curse, he's Chai Misa. But here, because the guy, because they violated Eshes Ish, and then to cover up on it, they sent the child away to cover up. Cursed be the parents. So the Gemara means v'chule v'goymer. All of the psukim that is all the averas that is specifically mentioned, they're all gayin of Eshes Ish. It's all the chizik on Eshes Ish. The Yodlam, the Brachas, the Klal, the Hagrim, HaRezel, went through all the Taryag Mitzvahs. And those that are mentioned explicitly, that's all for chizik for Eshes Ish. So Rashi says, where is it chizik on Eshes Ish? So Rashi says, Aramasik Vuvi Yehu, why you stole the other guy's wife? It doesn't go on Hasagas Gul. When they said Loi Sigzol, so they made Lo Marlav Nishma Velasas in Arvus and Arvus Darvus. But Masik Gloria means he stole the other one's eye. Or Makla Ovivimoi also means. Or Makla Ovivimoi. He was Mizana with an Eshes Ish, and they had a Mamzer, and they had to give him up for adoption, and the kid is going to be Mizalzel and keep it Aviyim, because he's brought up by non Jewish people. He's not going to be respecting his parents, don't know who the parents are. That also goes on Hoylid Mamzer. Or Shoichevim Chasanta, Eshes Ovivimachoi, said Kulim Eshes Ish. They all go. Chosanto is an Eshes Ish. He has an affair with his shviger. He has an affair with his sister, and he has an affair with his stepmother, and Meshesavim, and so on. And then Or Shechivim Kol Behema also goes on Eshes Ish. You live with a woman in Eshes Ish, it's a Maisa Behema. By Behemas, there is no institution of marriage. The Behema sleeps today with one partner and tomorrow with a different partner. So they're acting Maisa Behema. It doesn't go on Mishka Behema. Everything goes on Eshes Ish. So Rashi says, most of them he understands. What's Orlokech Shechel Hakad Nefesh Dam Noki? Boshib Shatez, you're not allowed to take Shechel. A dying shouldn't take Shechel in order to put someone to death. The Rashi says, this Amoira Nigimore, Meturgimone de Resh Lokish, interprets that doesn't, it goes on one who is salaried to set up an affair. He takes money, Shechel, to set up an Eshes Ish with someone else. Everything goes on Eshes Ish. Rashi says, the last one he doesn't understand at all. Mata Mishpat Ger Yosam Eni Dele Doshi. He doesn't know how in the world are you supposed to interpret that goes on Eshes Ish. But this Amoira, it seems that he was bothered with your kasha. What do you mean they made a brachas of clothes on each one of the Tayag mitzvahs? But they give you a list of which of the mitzvahs they made brachas of clothes. So he says, no, those mitzvahs, that's just to give chizuk on the Yisra of Eshes Ish. But the bulk of the brachas of clothes, Hagriz Ma'arevo, was not that. Is Ikachas Menasefer, the bulk of what they took the brachas of Kololos on, is not mentioned in the Chumash. They went through all the Taryag mitzvahs by Richas Yisrael.
He went to 11. So, obviously, if you just look truth or shall make right, it doesn't mean anything with Eshes Ish, most of the cases. So, what happened? When I give the bracha of the Kololos on these particular things, they explain what I meant? People,
what
can they? They just.
I don't know. That's what it sounds like. They rattled off all the Targa mitzvahs a few times. Lul malam lishma velasais, and arvus, the arvus, and everything. And then at the end, Hapten Tzuga liked these 11 psukim, and they said, and don't forget, Eishes Ish is the worst of the worst. That's the biggest yetzar is on Eishes Ish, and you got to be careful because all the curses come from violating Eishes Ish.
Eishes is not even in the
11. Right? Not in the 11. So the Gemara interprets that they're all aspects of Eishes Ish. Everything is an aspect of Eishes Ish. Then the last brisa, the last 20 lines, the Gemara just chazes up exactly how did it set it up. Tana Rabbani, you have a brisa. It says first you give a bracha, singular, then you give a klola, singular. What does it mean? Im lelamish te bracha hagrizim klola harevel doesn't mean they faced hagrizim for the bracha, they faced harevel for the klola. Dosh teichain and the other pasuk. It says even which six shvatim were there and which six shvatim were there. Why does he repeat it now? Halak vanemar eliyam de bracha sam hagrizim eliyam de walak klola baharevel. Ella, why does it say eli? What does it say in the first pasuk? It's a bracha hagrizim elalahakdim bracha leklola. It teaches that you should have a bracha and a klala, and first say the bracha and then say the klala. Because the Chumash, it only has the text of the klala. It doesn't have the text of the bracha at all. But it says brachas the klalas. So you know they were brachas. So which would they say first? Did they say the bracha first? Or did they say the klala first? So that's this pasuk tells you. When Asatas ha bracha first, with ha klala second, the lagdim bracha le klala. Yochayu kola brachas. But maybe they said all 11 brachas first, then they rattled off all 11 klalas later. So k'nenei. Yochol nacham ol you call a brachas kaidmas leklo all 11 brachas first time lama bracha uklala bracha ask them to leklo lachs when call a brachas kaidmas leklolas and then so it says in the chumash vano halavim v'yamru vano v'yamru is bekol ram so the levim say arahuish arahuish they say the klala bekol ram what about the bracha who says the bracha doesn't say who says the bracha doesn't say who answers amen it only says they say that everybody answers amen and the klolas. Who says the bracha? They auction it off. Kibudim, ata haresa. So who says the brachas? So that's what the brisa says. Ula hakish bracha leklol. It's a hekish. Ma klola belevim. Ma bracha belevim. Uma klola bekol ram. Ma bracha bekol ram. How do you know the klola is bekol ram? Because it says viyona halavim viyomru. Whenever it says v'nisa lemarta means bekol ram. Uma klola belosh nakodesh. We had in the Mishnah brachas leklola. The klola had to be belosh nakodesh. So the bracha has to be belashon. Everything has to be the same. Umaklola beklalu befrat. First that baruch aruhish eshei lo yakim is divater azos. And then they said that's a general bracha, a general klala. Aruhish eshei lo yakim is divater azos. Cursed be the person who doesn't observe kol atarkula. Then they say blessed be the person who does observe kol atarkula. So they gave a klala bichlal, and then they gave a klala befrat, and there are 11 klalas. The 10 of the 11 are bifrat and particular averis. The pashup shot, not like the previous amar, they're all 11 are just a repeat of Eishes Ish. So the pashup shot, this Bryce is learning, that 10 of the 11 are klolus bifrat, and one of the 11 is bichlal. Or hu eishishay loyokim is debater azor. So the brochas were also bichlal u bifrat. Uma klola, just by the klola, it says, v'yonu kulam v'yomu amen, suta by the brochas, everybody says on. So that's how the Gemara worked out the chesed. That's how the Gemara visualizes the brachas, the klolas, the hagriz, the harevel. I must have mentioned in the past that I have three married daughters in Eretz Yisrael. So one of my sons-in-law is involved in its doc organization, Pamonim. Different stock organizations in Eretz Yisrael, so almost all of them, overwhelming majority of the stock organizations, just keep on giving stock to their name. They just keep on giving money, and never straighten out the mess. You never solve the problem. So this organization, with several others, not too many, instead of just giving out money, they don't give out money. They try to work with the people to explain to them how to shop with Seichel, and how to pay your bills on time so you don't have $100,000 you owe credit, with interest and so on. So today we have a representative from Pamonim, Rabbi Morgenstern, Nechemia Morgenstern, who came to America specifically representing the organization to work on two particular families that they they're clinching a deal to solve all of the debts of these families and to get them back on their feet, and that now they need some help.
So just take 2 minutes. Rav Shlita already said how Halavim is all about. Right now we have two of the families who are under who are getting cared by Pamonim, and they're like harder cases because they had very big expenses, and they're already almost getting on the way rehabilitating, but we still need some funds to finish off the story and to really have them stand on their feet. One of the families, their problem was that they were working people and everything was all right, except that they had two of their children had multiple medical problems, which brought them very big expenses. Their biggest boy, which had the most of the medical problems, is already married now, and they still have a daughter with medical problems, but they still owe a lot of money for medical treatments that were already done. Hamanim is helping them out with also to pay their debts, and also to stand on their own feet alone. That's one case. The second case is also a family of working people who the father there had a heart attack. After he had a heart attack, he had another heart attack, and then when his wife heard that he has a second heart attack, she lost her mind, and she stopped functioning altogether, and then the whole household collapsed. He wasn't able to work the right way anymore, and anyway, three of their kids are having mental treatment because of this whole mess up, and the mother is having a mental treatment. The father had, after that, the third heart attack, so he is not allowed to work regularly. But now he's back to work as much as he can. The mother is almost back to normal already after Pamonim came in and helped them with the medical treatments that they needed. The kids also are almost back to normal. Okay, in both these cases, Pamonim needs some more funds to help them stand on their feet. So I'm asking the Kala Kadosh Hazeh to help out as much as possible.
Do you have some envelopes?
I have envelopes, yes.
I forgot to bring a check. So. Very often, after they have people who are, most of the people who work in Pamonim are volunteers. They're not salaried. So after they work with the people and they show them how to shop at Sechem and how to pay their debts, a lot of the people realize they are making a living and they cannot donate money to Pamonim to help other people. In 6 months, very often they straighten out the whole mess and they can help others. Just they have to orient them, how to make them orient, how to manage their money. Okay. Yashika? Yeah, you can all use it. Yeah. At the end, just a word on the parsha. At the end of Parsha's Noach, yeah, it's a tax-deductible a name. At the end of Parsha's Noach, the Chumash talks about the Dor HaFloga. It says, so Rashi points out, Safa Echaz was Loshna Kodesh. Rashi writes on Parsha's Bereshis also, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, so he says he has to call her Isha Kime Ish Lukocha Zois. So Rashi says, you see that the only language that was used was Loshna Kodesh, and so Loshna Neufel HaLoshna, because he was Ish, and she was an Isha, Kime Ish Lukocha Zois. So originally the official language, the only language that was functioning was Loshna Kodesh. Then on the occasion of the chet of the Dor HaFlogo, so the pasuk says, Bol al Hashem Sfas Kol Haaretz, HaKadosh Baruch mixed up all the languages, and all the other languages were developed. But Al Pidin, there's a difference, that the official language in Halacha, we're learning Perek Eilat Namor. So we had on the first Mishnah, the Achronim quoted from the Mishnah in Megillah. If you read the Megillah in Hebrew, then you yotze, even if you don't understand Hebrew. Aloy shesham ashir es yotze. And if you read the Megillah in translation, only karmas the giftus le giftim and modis le modim. One who understands that language, all the other languages are not considered a language al pidin. It's just considered b'toris targum. So only those who understand it, it's only a targum for those who understand it. But whoever doesn't understand it is not. And this is not only true, the Mishnah Megillah only says Benegeh to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is written in the original Hebrew. So the Paschim say it's even true Benegeh to Daving, and Benegeh to Kriyashma, Benegeh to Kiddush and Avdol, all brachas like that. If you say it in the original Hebrew, Hebrew is a universal language to everybody in the whole wide world, even if you don't understand. But whatever you speak in another language, that's already B'toris Targum, so only those who understand it, for them it's considered a Targum. Whoever doesn't, not. And the explanation why is because Lashon HaKadosh was the Lashon Shebo Nivra HaOlam. It says, Basar Mamaris Nivra HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a declaration in a Lashon. So the Lashon that was used, he are in son, everything was in Lashon HaKadosh. Rashi quotes the Midrashon that B'Lashon HaKadosh Nivra HaOlam. Basar Mamaris were B'Lashon HaKadosh. So the official language that's recognized in Kol Olam Kula is the Lashon HaKadosh. And all the other languages are just B'Toras Targum. So that's the basis of our Perek. Perek Eilat Namor. Whoever can help out, have some envelopes here.